Morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Chaf Vav. We are in Chaf Vav and Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud, and we are in the middle of trying to resolve a steer between two brises. There's a brise on Chaf Hamad Aleph that describes its sits and its power to create read through it, to push through a carbon. As we learned in yesterday's daf, it's only vis-a-vis the psul of Tumah. It applies to no other psul. And yesterday in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, we went through a host of other psalm that the tzitz does not work for. So it's much easier to describe what it does work for. It works for tumah. That's it. That's your long list of disqualifications that it works for. And the braisa on the first amud of Chafei says that if the dam becomes tamei and the zrika is done, whether it's done b'shogeg or b'mezid. B'shogeg hortza, b'mezid lo hortza. So if the kohen did the zrika in a state of shogeg, fine. The tzitz pushes it through. But if it's bemezin, so lo hortza. And I'm not sure if I made this point clear yesterday, but me'ikar adin, does the tzitz make any distinction for shogeg versus mezin? The Gemara doesn't make the point clear, but ostensibly the answer is no. Meaning me'ikar adin, the tzitz works and is able to create a ritzui if it's done b'shogeg or bemezin. Lichora, it's a simple pshat in the Gemara. Admittedly, the Gemara doesn't say this. But simple pshat in the Gemara is that the reason why b'mezid doesn't work, a kanas. Meaning the chachamim don't want kohanim to get into the habit of just simply intentionally being metame and sprinkling tummy blood onto the mizbech or tummy carbon onto the, not tummy carbon, but blood of tummy carbon onto the mizbech. And so therefore, the chachamim levied a kanas. Lichora, that's the simple way to say it over. Problem is that we have another braisa, the braisa on the top of Chaf Hamad Beis. And the braisa on the very first line of Chaf Hamad Beis writes, Almat sits maratzel adam v'la basva chel shenitma, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'onus, bein b'ratzam, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibor. And so the second braisa says that the sits works, and it does not matter whether it was shogeg or mezid. And that is a very simple stira between the two braisas and how to resolve the stira. So the Gemara is going to give three basic approaches, and yesterday we caught ourselves short right in the middle of the first approach. Let's go back. Let's start with the first approach. I'm Rav Yosef. So it's four lines down on Chaf Hamad Beis, and here begins approach number one. Lokasha Rav Yosef Rabbanan. So the approach is very simple, and that is Machlokas Tanaim. And the Gemara now outlines how do we see this Machlokas Tanaim, and how do we transfer that Machlokas over to our discussion. The Braisa says to Tanya, in Tormim and Atamil HaTohor, so to take Truma Tameya and to use that against produce that's Tahor, so shouldn't do it, that's clear. V'im Taram, B'shogi Trumasa Truma, B'mezid Ein Trumasa Truma. According to the Chachamim of this Braisa, if you took off the Truma and the Balabais did it, B'shogeg, that's okay. But B'mezid, it's not okay. And the Truma does not have the status of Truma. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, b'shogeg, b'mezid, truma, so truma. And Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that whether the truma is taken off either b'shogeg or b'mezid, the truma would in fact be deemed a good truma. So you see over here in this machlokis whether or not you could take off truma tameya against the produce which is tahor. So it's a machlokis, and whether you could do so even b'mezid, it's a machlokis at time, and the Gemara now would like to transpose that over to our discussion. To which the Gemara says, "Amen." Deshamalele Rav Yosi de lo kanes demaratzitzitz al achilos mishamaslei. The Gemara says, "Okay, so you want to tell me that according to Rav Yosi, so you want to tell me there's no kanas, which, by the way, goes back to what I said in the beginning of Shir today. That seemingly this idea that by mezid it does or does not work is really a function of kanas. The Gemara pretty clearly says it, but the Gemara says, but I'll tell you this though. According to Rav Yosi, what about achila now?" As Rashi over here points out, and this is pretty much where we stopped yesterday, Rashi points out, the tzitz has a koach. That's the starting point, we all agree. The tzitz has a koach for which part of the carbon? So Rashi over here outlines, Rashi bases himself on a Torah's Kohanim, that really, fundamentally, the tzitz's power to be meratze is on the parts of a carbon that go onto the mizbeach. Right, what we continuously describe throughout Zvachim and Menachos as Olin. Olin is not just carbon, but specifically the part of the carbon that is going onto the Mizbeach. We're talking Dam, we're talking Chelev, right, the Klaios, the Yoseres. Okay, right, otherwise known as the Imurim. Good. So for that, the Tzitz certainly creates Ritzui. But really over here, there is another level which is open for debate and discussion. What, let's say that the parts of the carbon that are tamei are not the parts that are going on the mizbeach, not the dam, not the chelev, but rather the basar. Let's say the basar is tamei. Could the tzitz create ritzui even for such a carbon? Now, to be clear, if the basar is tamei, the tzitz, the only thing it is able to do is able to give you a check on, did I bring a carbon? The answer is yes. There is no way that the tzitz will allow the owner of the carbon or the kohanim of the carbon to eat the carbon. Meaning the carbon's tamei. That's clear. The only thing open for discussion, and it is open for discussion, is if the basar of a carbon is tamei, can the tzitz allow us to sprinkle the blood? And now what the Gemara is going to argue is that it seems pretty clear, according to Rabbi Yossi, that no, the answer would be no. How do I know that? The Gemara now quotes a brice of Atanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hatzitz Maratz al Achilos, Rabbi Yossi Omer, and Hatzitz Maratz al Achilos. Actually, it couldn't be any clearer. The brice really spells it out, that according to Rabbi Yossi, Tzitz's ritzui power is only for the parts of the carbon that go on the mizbeach, the olin, dam and chelev. But there is no tzitz power for the achila, for the portions of the carbon that are eaten. So the Gemara says, Epoch, Rabbi Lazar Amrein, Hatzitz Maratz al Achilos, Rabbi Yossi Amar, Hatzitz Maratz al Achilos. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to do now. We're going to take the brice we just learned, and it is significant editing. We're going to flip it so that Rabbi Eliezer now, sorry, let me say it better, so that Rabbi Yossi now comes out on the side that the tzitz creates ritzui not only for the olin, but even for the achila as well. And now our suggestion, the Rabbi Yossi suggestion, that the two brises that took from the beginning of this year are now going to be contingent on the machlokes between the Chacham and Rav Yossi. But that did require us to edit the last brisa and flip around the shitas. So Rav Sheshes says, I'll tell you what. In other words, we don't have the right to flip around those brises. We know from other brisos that it's very clear what Rabbi Elazar's position is and what Rav Yossi's position is. And now, Vatanya, we're going to learn together a lengthier brisa. Before we start with this brisa, some basic information, background information. Tumah by carbon. So there is tumah of the person eating a carbon versus tumah of the carbon itself. If a person's tamei and he eats carbon, that's a kari's penalty. If the person's tahor and the carbon that he eats is tamei, that's just a lav, but not a kari's penalty. Now, with that in mind, let's learn the brisa together. Let's say the basar becomes tummy before zrikas adam. So one would suggest that maybe you should be chayev for tuma. Chayev meaning when the person himself is tummy, he's eating the carbon. So reading the pasuk carefully, the Torah says that if a person who's tummy eats it, he's going to receive the kari's penalty. Obviously, we're talking about a person doing so intentionally. And if you read the pasuk in context, the brisa learns out. So the only time that a person is going to receive the kari's penalty is only when he ate something which somebody else, tahor, could have eaten. If, however, it's something that a tahor person could not have eaten, so therefore it's not going to be subject to the kari's penalty. Obviously, what the person is doing is patently wrong. It's also for him to do that. However, there's no kari's penalty. The kari's penalty is only limited to eating carbon where somebody else tahor could have eaten. Now, the brice over here contemplates the same basic point, but maybe in terms of which carbonos are disqualified, maybe we're only talking about the disqualifications of things like lina and yotze, but not tuma. So tamalama asher la'ashem riba. So the asher la'ashem comes to tell me not just lina, not just yotze, but tuma as well. Yachosh ani mar besepikulim esanosaros. So the Gemara says, now I might have thought that we should also include pigul and nosar, meaning that the Isser Tumah should be layered on top of both Pigal and Nosar. And right away, the Gemara seeks clarification. Nosar is Hainolan. What do you mean? Nosar. Nosar and Lan are one and the same. So the Gemara says, Ela Afa Pigulem Kin Nosaros. Maybe we should treat Pigal like Nosar. Meaning, just like we learned together, that Lina creates a disqualification, and therefore somebody who's tamei who eats it is not subject to kares. So maybe the same thing could be said regarding pickle as well. Tamalomer mizevach shlamim miyet. So zevach shlamim is there to limit. Mare l'rabba sasil lahotzi aselu. So we have a ribui, we have a miyut, and the Gemara asks now, the Braisa asks its classic question. So how do I know to include one but to exclude another? Achash ribba kasav miyut amar mar ba'ani aselu shaisam shasa kosher. And the distinction is very simple. Is things like Lina and Yotze, so that at one point in time had a point of eligibility, it was a Karsha Karban that went awry, as opposed to Pigol, which is a Pasul Karban from the point of origination. The im tomer basu shenitma lefnei zrikas damim v'achol achar zrikas damim mimnei macha yavon lam mishum tama mimnei shatzitz meratze. Now, basa that becomes tame before the sprinkling of the blood, and was consumed after the sprinkling of the blood. So why would a person be chayv over consuming such a karban? Because it sits, creates ritsui. Now, this last point over here is really why we quoted the entire braisa, and the Gemara says nitma ein in yotze lo. So a karban becoming tame, would zrika be effective for that? The braisa just stated clearly yes. Yotzei, if I sprinkle blood over carbon that experienced Yitzia, would that Zrika work? The answer would be no, according to this Brisa we just learned together. Now, can we identify the author of this Brisa? Man shamalei damar ein Zrika molos Yotzei Rabbi Eliezer. So we know that Rabbi Eliezer said, we learned this actually pretty recently, that Zrika does not work for a carbon that experienced the psul of Yotzei. So, we now know that the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Eliezer. We also know that the Brisa just taught us that Zrika would be work, that Zrika would work, even though the consumed parts of the carbon experienced tuma. Vektani demaratza tzitzal achilos. So I know that was long, and I understand that was a little bit complicated. But if I could just summarize quickly, we just learned together that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the tzitz creates ritzui for the consumed parts of the carbon, the achilos of the carbon. And so therefore, for us to flip around the previous Braisa, we can't do that. Because we now have established that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the tzitz was meratza al achilos. Therefore, we now know that Rabbi Yossi must be of the other position, that the tzitz is not meratza al achilos. And so therefore, this idea that we could just simply flip the Braisas around will not work. And therefore, we need an entirely new approach. So let's reset the question, and let's offer now two more approaches. So, question. One brisa says that the tzitz is meratzah. The first brisa says only b'shogeg, but not b'mezid. Second brisa says that the tzitz is meratzah, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. How do we resolve it? So up until now, for almost the entire Amud, the Gemara attempted to explain some machlokes atanayim. Elam Rav Chisda lo kasha ha-Rebbi Eliezer ha-Rabbanan. Rav Chisda's answer, not a great departure from Rav Yosef. Also, he says it's a machlokes atanayim. He just simply swaps out Rav Yossi and inserts Rebbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Amos the Shamalei Rabbi Eliezer demaratzit tzitz alechilos. Dolo kanis mishamaslei. Look, we've already established that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that tzitz creates ritzui for not only the parts of the carbon that go up onto the mizbech, but even on the busser of the mizbech. The busser of the carbon. If the busser of a carbon is tameh, the tzitz creates ritzui for that as well. Good. We've just established that. But what about this idea about no knas? You, the Kohen, intentionally sprinkled the blood, knowing full well that the carbon is Tameh. How do I know that Rabbi Lazar subscribes to the idea that the tzitz creates ritzui, even under those circumstances? In. So the Gemara says, well, the same place that Rav Yossi generated the halacha, Rabbi Eliezer generates it from the same place. And the Gemara is going to prove its point. Ditanya. Rabbi Eliezer omer beim shogeg beim memezit truma so truma. We have now the braisa that says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, whether it's b'shogeg or whether it's b'mezid, truma so truma. Now, earlier this morning, we said that was said in the name of Rav Yossi. We're saying now both. It was said in the name of Rav Yossi and it was said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. The idea that the Chachamim, even though it was something was done b'mezid, the Chachamim are not ready to make a knas. And as a result of that, we're going to take that now, even though that was taught vis-a-vis Truma, we're going to transpose that idea over to Karbanos. The Gemara says, but that's that's not the same. Eim d'shamaslei l'Rabbi Elazar b'Truma. D'kila. B'kadashim d'chamira mishamaslei. Okay. Truma, so fine, there's no kenas. The kedusha of truma relative to karban is lower. So I'm going to now make the jump, and it's a step up to go from truma up to karban. Im ken ha aman tame. But the Gemara basically says with a shoulder shrug, okay, but what else are we going to do? Meaning we don't have any other atana to assign this opinion to. As we already pointed out throughout the course of this amud, we can't assign it to Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, we're only left with assigning it to Rabbi Eliezer. Yes, it's going to require a small step upwards to go from Truma to Karban. But otherwise, what else are you going to do? Adkan, that brings us to the end of the first approach of the Gemara. It's Rav Yosef, it's Rav Chista. Rav Chista is basically taking on the same approach, with the only modification being not the machlokis chachamim Rabbi Eliezer, but rather, sorry, not that it's a machlokis Rabbi Yossi and the chachamim, but rather a machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim.
Even okay. If you have a ritsui for the basar which became tameh, you can't eat it, right?
Agreed.
So you get a kapara. Is that what it is?
That's exactly the point. Danny, perfect. In other words, that's exactly the point of the Gemara. That ritsui for the achila just simply means you could sprinkle the blood and the owner will receive kapara. But right, under no circumstances could you eat such a karban. Correct. Ravina Amar Tumaso Ben Beshogi Ben Bemezer Hurtsa Zrikasa Beshogi Hurtsa Ben Mezer La Hurtsa. Ravina starts off now by addressing the original Stira, and his approach is now not saying it's a machlokes Tanaim, but just simply switching the topics between Braisa number 1 and Braisa number 2. Tumaso Ben Beshogi Ben Bemezer Hurtsa Zrikasa Beshogi Hurtsa Ben Mezer La Hurtsa. Now, when I introduced the prices yesterday, the truth of the matter is I foreshadowed the point of Ravina. If you go back to the tape yesterday, you'll hear that I foreshadowed it, but I just didn't get there. Okay, but now we're here. Ravina says, look, when we're talking about Shogeg and Mezid and Tum of a Karban, there are actually two points where we could be talking. Number one, how did the Tumah get to the Karban? Was that done Bishogeg or was that done B'mezid? And then number two, the Zrikas Hadam. After the carbon becomes Tameh, now the blood being sprinkled of said carbon on the Mizbeach. Was that done B'shogeg or was that done B'mezid? And that's what the two Brises are describing, these two points, where if we're talking about the Tuma of the carbon, there, no differentiation between whether the carbon becomes Tameh, either B'shogeg or B'mezid. The Tzitz creates Ritzui. However, if we're now talking about sprinkling of the blood, bishogeg, the tzitz creates ritsui. Bemezid, the tzitz does not create ritsui. So according to Ravina, we're going to be machmer on the side of Zrikas Hadam, where there, tzitz's power to create ritsui is only when the sprinkling is done bishogeg. Rav Shila Amar, Zrikasa ben bishogeg ben bemezid hortza, Tumasa bishogeg hortza bemezid lo hortza. Now, Rav Shila actually loves the distinction, but the other way. When we're talking about the Zrikas Hadam, so there, Ben Bishogeg, Ben Memezid, the tzitz will push you through. When we're talking about how the carbon became Tameh, there, only if the carbon becomes Tameh through Shogeg, then the tzitz will be Meratzah. But if the carbon becomes Tameh Ben Mezid, the tzitz will not be Meratzah. So it's the same structure, just flipping around, where were the Chachamim more Machmir? On the Kabbalah Satama? Or on the Zrikas Dam of a carbon which is Tameh. Ula Rav Shela. Now the Gemara says, now Rav Shela's position actually is harder to defend. Ha diktani shenitma ben bishogeg ben bemezid. So what about the Braisa that says it becomes Tameh ben bishogeg ben bemezid? Sounds like the Braisa is describing the carbon becoming Tameh. Ha chikamer. The Gemara says, okay, but we'll read the Braisa like this. It's a little stretch, but this is how we'll read it. Nitma bishogeg Vizarku, Bein Bishogeg Ben Bemezid, if it becomes Tame Bishogeg, and then next step, Zrikas Adam, whether Bishogeg or whether Bemezid, okay, so that's how we'll read the Braisa. Again, it's a little bit of a stretch, but to defend Rav Shela's position. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, we're now on the top of Chavav Amin Aleph, Dam Shenitma Vizarku, Bishogeg Hurtsu Bemezid Lo Hurtsu, blood which becomes Tame, and I sprinkle. So now the distinction seems to be on the Zrika. So Bishogeg Hirtsa Bemezid Lo Hurtsa, Hachikamar, Dam Shenitma Vizarku. So blood that becomes Tame and was sprinkled. Bein Bishogeg Ben Bemezid, Nitma Bishogeg Hurtsa Bemezid Lo Hurtsa. The distinction between Shogig versus Mezid is going on the Tuma, not on the Zrika. Again, I'll make the same point. It's a little bit of a stretch reading it that way, but it is a defense of Rav Shela. Okay, Adkan. Okay, lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding the Koach HaTzitz. The tzitz is ability to be meratza, so certainly a carbon that is tamei, and the blood is sprinkled. So we know, as a starting point for the whole discussion, that the tzitz creates ritzui, and then just a number of questions. A lot of the questions weren't even discussed on yesterday's daf. Questions of, does the kohen have to be wearing the tzitz? Does he not have to be wearing the tzitz? So, but the questions that the Gemara did deal with yesterday is, which psul is it going to be meratza? That is a very clear answer, only tuma. And then the discussion of, if the carbon is tamei, or if the zrika of a carbon tamei was done. So is there any differentiation between shogig versus mezid? And the answer is, maybe it's a machlokas. No, the answer is it's a machlokas. Okay, we'll keep it there. Okay, we start with the Mishnah. A Mishnah that we've seen versions of this discussion earlier in the Masechta. Let me introduce the Mishnah with information that we went over before. Let's go over it again. By a carbon. Let's leave Menachos for just a moment. Let's go to a carbon. So, for a carbon, the critical moment that the part of the carbon, the avodah of a carbon that creates kapara, is the Zrikas Adam. Now, the Zrikas Adam is providing kapara, but remember also Zrikas Adam is a matir. Once the blood is sprinkled, now everyone could start getting a consumption of the carbon. If it's a regular carbon shlamim, now you take the amor and put them on the mizbeach. The owners and the kohanim get to eat the basar of the shlamim. If it's a chatzos asham, same point, but the consumers are just kohanim. If it's a carbon ola, so it's kulo. It's all burnt on the mizbeach. Okay, and a glitch. Okay, and so a machlokes hatanaim that we already saw numerous times, but we get to see it again today, and that is, let's say after the carbon was shechted, after the blood was collected, we're ready to do Zrika, and we lost the entire animal. And when I say lost the animal, meaning we could just simply be talking about Nevad, it was lost. Physically, we no longer know where it went. Hard to lose an animal post-Shechita, I admit, but okay, you lost it. Or, let's say halachically it was lost. Let's say experienced a disqualification right after Shechita. It was taken out of the Azara. It becomes Tameh. So you no longer have, either physically or halachically, any part of the animal. Can I still go through with the Zrikas Adam? And this is a machlokes atanayim. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that you could sprinkle the dam even though there is no basa whatsoever. Isn't the Zrikas Adam a matir? The answer is yes. What?
Matir.
Right. And the answer is yes, but it's also a kapara. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, the allowance for Zrikas Adam will be allowed even though there's no basar. Okay. And the Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara over there brings down drashas in supporting his position. But again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, dam afa pishein basar. Rabbi Yoshua's position, no. The only time that you can do zrikas adam on the mizbeach is only when it creates a matir for part of the carbon. Which part of the carbon? You need a kezais of something which is consumed. It doesn't matter who the consumer is. It could be the mizbeach, it could be the owner, it could be the kohanim. As long as there is a kezias of carbon left over, which can be consumed, then you could do zrikas adam. However, according to Rabbi Yeshua, im ein basar, ein dam, with no meat. And by meat over here, we just simply mean any part that's consumed. So then you cannot sprinkle the blood. Good. A machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Now let's go back to Menachos and let's learn our Mishnah together. Our Mishnah teaches us. Nitmu shira, nisrafu shira, avdu shira. So let's say after the kemitza is done, so now the kemitza is like the shechita, and the burning of the komitz, that's going to be like the sprinkling of the blood, but before haktaras the komitz is done, so you lost the shirayim. And now, can we burn the kemitza with no shirayim left over? And when I say no shirayim left over, again, either the shirayim becomes tameh, or the shirayim were burnt, or we lost the shirayim. So either halachically or physically, the shirayim are no longer with us. So now, can we burn the kamitza? And the answer is going to be very simple. It's the same machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Kemidas Rabbi Eliezer kshera, u kemidas Rabbi Yeshua psula. Good. Very straightforward. Now, Amar Rav, who shenitmu kol shirah. Now, Rav over here throws in a qualifier. The only time that, according to Rabbi Yoshua, you will be banned from burning the comets is only if I lost all of the Shirayim. If I have a significant remnant of the Shirayim, right, a remnant of the Shirayim, right, a fraction of the Shirayim, so then, even according to Rabbi Yoshua, you can burn the Kemitzah. Which, quite frankly, if you think about it, makes perfect sense. Because in the parallel carbon discussion, I just need a kezayis of carbon, according to Rabbi Yeshua, in order to do Zrikas Adam. So now in our Mincha discussion, I don't need all the Shirayim, even just some. But when Rav makes a statement, he says it only vis-a-vis Tumah. So the Gemara for a moment thinks that Rav's statement was only limited to Tumah. Now, if that's true, why would it be true only by Tumah, not by the other Pesulim? So Kas Tagadach of the Gemara makes exactly this point. We now think Nitmei and Avod V'Saruf Lo, that this qualification of Rav is only by Tumah, not by Saruf, not by Avod. My Kasavri, Kasavri Shirayim El Sahi. Well, I don't understand. If you have a fraction of the Shirayim left over, so either that's significant or it's not significant. If it's significant, Afilu Avod V'Saruf Nami. So then what difference does it make? What happened to the other part of the Shirayim? And if you want to tell me the Shirayim is not significant, v'nitma, my time of the Meratz Assist, and the reason why we're qualifying only Tuma is because maybe it's a function of the Tzitz. So the Gemara says, Yihachi kol Shirayim Nami. Well, then what difference would it make if some of the Shirayim becomes Tame, or if all of the Shirayim becomes Tame? If this is just a function of the Tzitz, so then we can have all the Shirayim being Tame and still burn the comets on the Mizbech. So Lalam Kesavishira Milsahi Vinitma Vuadilava Vasarf. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're gonna take back our Havamina. When Rav put this qualifier in for Rabbi Yoshua, he didn't limit his comments to just Tuma. If some of the Shirayim becomes Tame, or lost, or burnt, it's all gonna be the same. You could still burn the comments according to Rabbi Yoshua. The Haidakamar Nitma Rishayim Nakat. The only reason why he used the example of Tuma is because that's the first example given in our Mishnah. But who are Din, all the other examples as well. Okay, Detanya, the Gemara makes this point very clear. Here's the Braisa. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, Kol Hazvachim Shebetor Shenishayim Mehem Kezayis Basar or Kezayis Chelev, Zarek Es Adam. If I have either a Kezayis of meat or Chelev, so then go ahead and sprinkle the blood, according to Rabbi Yeshua. Kechatzi Zayis Basar, Kechatzi Zayis Chelev, Eino Zarek Es Adam. I can't mix and match my consumers. One half Kezayis of Basar plus one half kezayis of chelev does not equal a full kezayis, because those are two different consumers. Uva ola, afilu kechatzi zayis basar, u kechatzi zayis chelev, zorek es adam, mimnei shekula kalil. However, when it comes to carbon ola, since there's one consumer, i.e. the mizbeach, so therefore you can combine half kezayis of meat and chelev. Now, by mincha, even if I have the entire mincha, don't sprinkle the blood. Now, you're wondering right now, mincha, sprinkling of the blood, like that, those are two different mesechtas. Like, what's going on? Mincha ma'avidate, amra papa mincha sesachim. Mincha over here means the mincha sesachim with a standard carbon. So there's a nesachim that's brought. Sometimes the Nesachim is referred to as Mincha, like right here. And so therefore, what it means is as follows. Kasa kadacha, hol v'hadi zevachas, yeki gufi dizvicha damya, kamash malan. This Havamina we've heard already numerous times. We get to hear it again right now. The Havamina goes like this. The Nesachim that are brought in conjunction with the carbon is an attachment to the carbon. Perhaps they now take on full carbon status, so that if, let's say, we lost the entire animal before Zvika Saddam, but we still have the Nesachim. Okay, so good. So let's now sprinkle the blood, according to Rabbi Yoshua. Because even though I lost the carbon, but I still have the Nesachim. And the Kamash Malan is no. Even though the Nesachim are in attachment to the carbon, but don't ever confuse the Nesachim with the carbon. The Nesachim are not gufo shel carbon. They're just simply something that accessorizes the carbon. So how do I know? Now, as Rashi explains over here, when the Gemara wants to know, how do I know that according to Rabbi Yoshua, if I don't have basar, but I have imurim, that would be okay to sprinkle the blood. The pasuk says, v'hikter ha-chelev, you will burn chelev l'rech nichoach la'ashem. Chelev, afa pishen basar. Meaning, as long as you have something, including chelev, that's enough to create a matir so that you could sprinkle the blood. Good. So that's the chelev. So those are the fats that lay on top of the organs of the animal. How about the actual organs themselves? Right? Three organs are going up onto the Mizbech as Imurim. Two kidneys, one diaphragm. Yoseris is the diaphragm. Klaios are the kidneys. So how do I know that they too will allow, according to Rabbi Yeshua, remember, this whole discussion is within Rabbi Yeshua. How do I know that they will allow for Zrikas Adam? Diktani, uve mincha filu kula kemes lo yizrok, minchu de lo yizrok, ha yoseris shtei klaios yizrok. And the Gemara just simply accentuates that we know this is so, because according to Rabbi Yeshua, the only thing that doesn't qualify is the Nesachim. So, but anything, any part of the carbon does qualify, including the diaphragm, including the kidneys. So, minalan Rav Yochanan didei amal l'reich nichoach, kol sha'ata amal l'reich nichoach. Well, anything that gives you that wonderful barbecue smell. So, you put on any part of the animal on the mizbeach, and that gives you reich nichoach. Vitzurich l'michtav chela, vitzurich l'michtav l'reich nichoach. And both expressions in the Torah are necessary. Because if the Torah would have said chelav, I would have thought that the matir only would work if you have chelav, but just chelav. So that's why the Torah adds rech nichoach to include the organs as well. And if the Torah would have said rech nichoach, I would have thought to have included even the nesachim. Create some reich nichoach. I understand it's not barbecue, it's not protein. Right, okay, I get it. But it's a havamina, so therefore the Torah says chelev. So no, it has to be an actual chelek of the animal. At Khan, we have, first part of today's shir, first sugya today, a question of whether or not the Kohen does the kemitza, and before he burns the kemitza on the Mizbeach, the shiraim are either physically or halachically gone. So can the kohens now be burnt on the Mizbeach? And will the owner receive a check for his mincha? And the answer is, it's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. And then a discussion in the Gemara regarding the parameters of the shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Yeah, usually Rabbi Yoshua, in this particular case, Rabbi Eliezer.
Really?
Yeah. That's what the Rambam writes. Okay, Amar of Yehuda Berei de Rabbi Chia. Sorry, I skipped an important part, and that's the Mishnah. Let's take a step backwards. The Mishnah. Shalom b'kli sharis pasal. Okay, this is a point that we made already numerous times in our Masechta, but the Mishnah over here wants to hammer home how important this step is. Okay, in a mincha, in a standard mincha, the Kohen first takes his right hand, puts it into the mincha to take out the kemitza. We're familiar, right? This is now, we're finishing up our fourth week of learning Menachos. So we're familiar with this idea. Now, next, takes the kemitza of flour and oil that's in his hands and puts it into a second kli sharis. And this is, we described as a process known as kiddush hakometz. It is similar to kabbalas adam. In other words, once you shecht an animal, the blood's going to now come out. The blood must be collected in a bowl. Similarly, with the kiddush hakometz, so after the kemitza comes off the mincha, it must be put into a second kli. The Mishnah here is just here to tell us, this is not a mitzvah, it's essential. Shelo b'kli sharis, pasul. If the kometz does not go into a second kli sharis, so there is no longer a kasher mincha. This is an essential part of the avoda. Now it happens to be that not everyone agrees. Rabbi Shimon, machshir, Rabbi Shimon would allow it. What exactly Rabbi Shimon would allow? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss. Hikter kometza pamaim chera. The kemitza now is inserted into a kli sharis. The kemitza now is taken up to the mizbeach, and the best way to do it is to take the entire kometz and put it onto the mizbeach and having it burn in one sum. However, if the kometz is subdivided into two parts, says the Mishnah Kshera, it's fine. We'll discuss that part of the Mishnah as well.
Like two separate clumps come off the guy.
Yeah, two halves. You divide into two halves and you offer in two halves. The Mishnah says it's fine. Now, the Gemara will be spending a lot of time discussing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, it's not the Chachamim's viewpoint, but this is not our first rodeo. This is not the first time we're going to experience a lengthy discussion in the Gemara on a Shita in the Mishnah that is not necessarily the halacha. Three opinions within Rabbi Shimon. Here's what we know. Kiddush Kometz, so according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, it is a non-starter. Kiddush Kometz is an essential part of the Avoda. Rabbi Shimon is relaxing his rules regarding Kiddush Kometz. Okay? How much is he relaxing? And that's our discussion in the Gemara. There are three opinions. Opinion number one. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Berei, the Rabbi Chiya, my time at the Rabbi Shimon, I'm a Kra. Kodesh Kadashim, hi kechatas u keasham. A pasuk that we've cited many times already in our Masechta, and that is the idea that the mincha falls under the category of Kodesh HaKadashim. It's only eaten in the Azara by Zichrei Kohuna for one day, just like Chatas and Asham. The Torah says the mincha is like a Chatas and an Asham. Now the Torah could have just simply said Kodesh HaKadashim and the point would have been made. By comparing it to Chatas and Asham, what do we gain from that? So, Baal Ovda Biyad, Ovda Biyamin Kechatas. Bikli, Ovda Bismol Kaasham. In terms of offering the mincha onto the Mizbeach, there are two pathways in which you can go. You can go Chatas route, or you can go Asham route. Now, we're talking about a mincha. So what we mean by that is as follows. Let's say we were to go a Chatas route. What do we know regarding a Karban Chatas? Application of the Chatas is done with the Kohen inserting his hand into the bowl, his finger into the bowl, and applying it to the four corners of the Mizbeach. We also know that the Kohen is doing it with his right hand. The Torah there uses the word etzba and kahuna. The Kohen's going to be doing it with his right hand. So, if, let's say, you're going to go the chatas route, that means that the Kohen can do the kamitza and then bring it up to the mizbech and no klisharis is necessary. But you have to use your right hand. If, however, you want to go asham route, so asham route allows you now to put it, the kmitza into a bowl, and there you could use your left hand. Hold the bowl in your left hand.
And then turn
it over with your left hand. Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are two routes you can go. Now, Rabbi Yanai Amar, okay, so good. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, so the relaxation of Rabbi Shimon, somewhat limited in terms of what degree Rabbi Yehuda is going to leave the klisharis out of the equation for the comments. It depends which hand you want to use. You want to use the right hand, you don't need to do Kiddush Komets in a Kli Sharis. If you're going to use your left hand, so then you need to do Kiddush Komets in a Kli Sharis. Opinion number two. Rabbi Yanai Amar Kevin should come to Mikli Sharis, Ma'aleo Makira Afila Behemna Veafila Behemikida Shel Cheres. According to Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Shimon is relaxed, really relaxed. You do Kemitza from a Kli Sharis. And by the way, I should have made this point very clear when we learned the Mishnah. Rashi made the point. It's not too late. I can still make it. When initially putting a mincha into a Kli Sharis, there is no debate. A mincha only works as a karban only when it is originally put into a Kli Sharis. So that means to say that the original flour, the original oil, will not be imbued with Kedushas karban, Kedushas mincha, unless it's put into a Kli Sharis. The only thing that we are debating is once the kmitza is removed, does that have to go into Kli Sharis? Tanakhama says yes, it must. And according to Rabbi Shimon, somewhat more relaxed on that. How relaxed? So we already saw the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. We're up to Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai says that once kmitza is done from a Kli Sharis, Ma'aleo Makir Afil Benyo Afil Bemekita Shocheres, you could bring it up to the Mizbeach any way you want. You could put it in your belt. I know that's a funny example, but you could put it in an earthenware jug. Obviously, an earthenware jug is not a Kli Sharis. That's exactly the point. You can bring it up to the Mizbeach any which way you want. There is no Kli Sharis requirement regarding the comments. Good.
Does this go by the Rabbi Shimon's principle that halacha is not a required avodah?
It could be. I don't know. It's
because it's sort of halacha, right?
I hear the thought. I do hear the thought process. You're right about that. I remember that as well. And it could be. The Gemara doesn't connect. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Hakol Modim Bekomet Shetam Kiddush. Rav Nachman Yitzchak is of the opinion that, look, in terms of Kiddush comments into a Kli Sharis, and we're all on the same page. The Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon all agree that it has to go into a Kli Sharis. It's only once it goes into a second Kli Sharis does it have to be brought up to the Mizbeach in that Kli Sharis. Tanakam says yes. Rabbi Shimon says no. Once it goes into the Kli Sharis, then you can take it with your hand and bring it up onto the Mizbeach. Okay, so three versions amongst the Amorayim, how relaxed Rabbi Shimon is on this point of Kiddush HaKometz. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges based on a Braisa. Hector Chalam Ve'evam Ve'etzim She'alam Bein B'yad Bein B'kli Bein B'yamin Bein B'smol Ksherim. The burning of the Chalev and the limbs and the wood that are brought up either with your hand or with a kli or with your right or with your left, it would be kosher. Kemitza, kitores, lavona, she'alem ben biyad ben bekli ben biyamin ben besmol ksherim, which is brought up to the mizbeach with your hand, with a kli, with your right, with your left, is going to be kosher. Now, as Rashi points out over here, clearly the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon. What the Braisa is now saying is that it could be brought up using either your right or your left. Ti yufta de Rabbi Yehuda bere de Rabbi Chiya. The Gemara says, simple reading of the Braisa would indicate that this Braisa does not agree with Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Amlecha Rabbi Yehuda bere de Rabbi Chiya, let's dud in Katani. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, here's how I'll read the Braisa. It's not a simple reading, but I'll read it, and my position can be defended. Biyad, biyamin. If you're using your right hand, if you're using your right hand, so then you don't need a kli sharvitz. You can use your right hand, and you only need to use your hand for the kumitz. Bikli, bein biyamin, bein b'smol. If you're going to put it into a kli sharvitz, so then you could use your left or right hand. Okay, we could read the braisa that way, and that would conform to my understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Tashma, the Gemara goes through a number of challenges. Kamso, shalom b'kli sharis. V'kiddusho, shalom b'kli sharis. V'halu v'iktiru, shalom b'kli sharis. Pasol. So according to the Tanakhama, you need a kli sharis. Very, very straightforward. And Rabbi Elazar, v'Rabbi Shimon, machshirin b'matan kli. Their machshir b'matan kli. What do those words b'matan kli mean? Seemingly, you don't need a kli sharis. Now, this would be a challenge against Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, HaKomodim, that according to everybody, the Komets has to go into kli sharis. It's only after that, then Rabbi Shimon is relaxing the requirement of a kli sharis. But it has to go into a kli sharis. The Brice over here doesn't seem to agree. Ema mi matan kli ve'elech. A small modification of the Brice, even though the Brice, the way we have it is b'matan kli, we'll say the Brice means mi matan kli, which means that the Komets is put into a kli sharis. And from there, Rabbi Shimon is relaxing his rules. You can then take it from the kli sharis and bring it up with your hand. Another challenge. Tashma. V'chachamim omrim komets tam kli sharis ketzan. Komtsam kli sharis mekasha b'kli sharis. Omaleo maktiru b'kli sharis. So here, this braisa, chachamim's position super clear. We have not deviated by the chachamim at all. You take the komets, you put into kli sharis, you bring it up in the kli sharis. You burn it. In other words, you deposit it from the kli sharis right onto the fire. Good. Clear. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kevin Shekamso, Mi Kli Sharis, Maleo Makir Shalom Bi Kli Sharis Vidayo. According to Rabbi Shimon, no Kli Sharis required for the Komets. Meaning, as long as you do the Kemitza from a Kli Sharis, you can bring you're good. You don't need any more Kli Sharis. You bring it up, you burn it, you could use your hand. So, once again, this is difficult for Rav Nachman. Because Rav Nachman says that HaKol Modim, according to everybody, the Komets has to go into a Kli Sharis. Ema, so once again, small modification of the Braisa. Kevin Shekamso, Vikicha B'Kli Sharis, Maleo Maktir Vidio. So again, a small modification. What the Braisa really means is, you'll put the comments in the Kli Sharis, but after that, you can bring it up with your hand. Another challenge, Tashma. Comments B'Yamin of Anasim B'Smalo. If you do the Kemitza with your right hand, and then you transfer the Kemitza from your right to your left hand, so Yachzer L'Yamino, you just put it back to your right hand. B'Smalo, let's say you do the Kemitza with your left hand, V'chishev aleha, and you have a machshava of chutzuzman and chutzum kamo, the machshava does not register. The machshava doesn't register. You know why? Because you're not... Huh? The avoda was done improperly. A machshava of pigo, of chutzuzman and chutzum kamo, is only when the avoda is done correctly. You did the kemitza with your left hand. So chishev bein chutzum kamo, bein chutzuzman opasal vein bo karis. Now, you're not subject to the karis penalty because it's not a correct avoda, which will not lead to a machshava. Now, biyamino, I know that word's not in the Gemara, but we'll add it. Not me, right, on the margin. So we'll add the word yamino. Let's say the kemitza was done with your right hand, meaning properly. So chishev aleha chutzuz mano pasal vein bo karis. I'm sorry. Chishev aleha chutzim kamo pasal vein bo karis. Chutzuz mano pigo v'chayim aleha karis. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. V'Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so if you do the kemitza correctly with your right hand, so then a machshava of pigol will take effect. Fine.
What if we do it properly in the kli sharis? It says you can use your left hand.
Which one? Give me a moment. V'chacham amarim kevin shenasno l'smol pasal taso matnaso. So once you take the chametz, transferring it from your right hand to your left hand, that immediately results in a disqualification. My time edition mishum debai kedusha bekli the kevin shenasal small nasa kedamshin ishmak mitzaver beim ala ritzba va'aspo shepasol. And I'll tell you why transferring it from your right hand to your left hand will, according to the chachamim, will disqualify. Because according to the chachamim, kiddush kli, the kiddush chametz is an essential part of the avoda. It's like the blood going from the animal, from the neck of the animal, into the bull. We've learned this numerous times already. You shecht an animal. The blood is not received in the bowl, but the blood goes directly to the floor. Game over. Carbon's no good. So according to the Chachamim, the same thing is true regarding the Kemitza. If the Kemitza is taken with your right hand and not taken from your right hand and put into a bowl, and it goes anywhere else, including your left hand, it's tantamount to the blood going right onto the floor, and therefore it's going to be pasul. Now, all that's great. Our focus right now is on Shitas Rabbi Shimon, because remember, the entire discussion is within Rabbi Shimon. What do we see according to Rabbi Shimon? Mechlal, der Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, lo ba'al matan kli. Comes out very clearly by virtue of the fact that according to Rabbi Shimon, you can transfer the kemitza from your right hand to your left hand. Kli must not be an essential part. And once again, to Yufta, der Rav Nachman, to Yufta. This once again poses a challenge to Rav Nachman, because remember, Rav Nachman was asserting that hakol modim, that everyone agrees that the kiddush chametz has to go into a kli. So the Gemara says leRabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rabbi Chiya Misayele. Now the brisa happens to work out beautifully for Rabbi Yehuda. Good, because remember, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're going to use your hand, you don't need a kli sharis. Albeit you have to use your right hand, but you don't need a kli sharis. That works out very good. LeRabbi Yanai Lema Te'avit Yufta. Now what about according to Rabbi Yanai? Remember, there were three versions of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yanai was version number two. And he says that once the kemitza is done from a kli sharis, you can bring it up any which way you want. You don't need to use your hand. The brice over here seems to indicate, no, according to Rabbi Shimon, you still need to bring the kemitza up in your hand. Seemingly, this brice serves as a refutation of Rav Nachman. Gemara answers, sorry, lema te'avit yufta, amlecha Rabbi Yanai, so Rabbi Yanai says, okay, this brisa you just cited, I agree. I will have problems with this brisa. But we quoted a brisa earlier, the brisa of Hikter, right? One of the previous brises that we quoted on the Amud Aleph, and I will not segment that brisa into two sections like the Gemara tried to do earlier. And that brisa goes like my position, that once you take the comments from the klisharis, according to Rabbi Shimon, you bring it up to the Mizbeach any which way you want. Okay, Adkan. That'll take us to... right. Well, remember, the entire discussion the Gemara just had was only within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon.
No, I'm talking
right.
About
which one. Right, so we... for the first time, I think I'll say that's an unfair question. I don't know, but it's interesting, though. It is a lengthy discussion within a Shita that's not accepted.
Rabbi Nachman doesn't get that many Shifas.